Last time I preached to you, I talked to you about how Christ's baptism was his initiation into his mission as Messiah. His own baptism was the beginning of his vocation. After his baptism, Jesus immediately went into the wilderness and began facing temptation on our behalf. I made the point that our baptism is no different. Our baptism, no matter when we were baptized, places a call on our lives. Our baptism is the beginning of our vocation because our baptism is baptism into Christ. Paul wrote to the church in Rome that our baptism joins us in Christ's death. He then said that just as we are called to come and die by and with Jesus, so are we called to share in his resurrection. Paul says that because Jesus was resurrected, we who were baptized into his life and death are called to follow him by walking in newness of life. This is our mission, to live as a resurrection people. At Redeemer, we express this in the phrase, know Christ, grow together, and go into the world. Know, grow, and go. Now today is World Mission Sunday. Today is the day that we remember our vocation, our call, our mission. Today, we remember that we are not called to comfort or complacency. We remember what our collect says, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on every race and nation. And with our collect, we ask that God would continue that preaching of the gospel across the whole world. Now, our prayer book specifically has what's traditionally understood as missionary work in mind. And when we talk about missionary work, we tend to think about going to places where people haven't heard of Jesus, and we send people on a mission to those places so that the gospel can be preached there. Now, before going too far in, I want to say two things. First of all, that work is important work. It is essential work. At Redeemer, we support a number of missionaries and have sent a number of our members out into the world as missionaries. Yesterday, a number of our members gathered together for a missions and outreach retreat in order to share and strengthen one another and focus on ways that Redeemer can faithfully carry out that calling. Second, however much it is important to remember that funding missionaries is an important calling and responsibility for the church and its members, it is also important to remember that writing a check once a week or once a month is not the same thing as carrying out the mission of God. Remember, Paul did not just say, all the missionaries that have been baptized into Christ must put on Christ. He said, as many as have been baptized into Christ must have been baptized into his death. And if you've been baptized, that means you're a missionary. You have a call on your life to serve God and live out the gospel in some way. That may take the form of laity. You may have a lay calling, a non-clergy calling, but laity is not code for the people that write the checks. Traditionally speaking, the laity are the first holy order. Clergy are just people within the laity who've been identified by the laity for a very specific role. But the minister's role is not the only role. And if you've been baptized, then you may or may not realize it, but you've already received holy orders. When Peter calls the church a royal priesthood, he is not talking about the priests. He's talking about all the people. Peter said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All of you are God's chosen people, and God chose you for a reason. Today, I want to talk to you about what that reason is. God has called all of you here together for a mission. Peter says that God chose you to proclaim his excellencies. This is worship. And that is the heart of your mission. In Duval County, for a while, there was a saying in the district. The saying was, begin with the end in mind. Now, this saying means that when you plan a lesson, you begin that plan with a specific target or a goal. And everything that you do during the lesson is built around accomplishing that goal or hitting that target. Begin with the end in mind is about being intentional and thoughtful. If you teach science, you don't just sit down and make a list of fun science lessons that you want to do with the students. You think about specific scientific principles, and then you design specific lessons and principles that will encourage the growth and development of that specific sort of knowledge. This is missional education. Education with goals and purpose. When the end is not in mind, sometimes you could come up with fun lessons or filler lessons, lessons designed to fill up the school year, to run out the clock, to make sure there's no empty space on the calendar. And when you do this, some learning does take place. But it's casual and unorganized and unfocused. And that lack of organization and focus leads to less integration. And that lack of integration leads to wasted learning and wasted growth. When the teacher aimlessly floats through a subject or curriculum, students begin to detect that aimlessness and that floating. And it doesn't take long for students to pick up on the fact that there is no aim and there is no purpose for their education. And so today, when we talk about the mission that our baptism calls us to, I want to begin with the end in mind. I want you to see that the knowing, growing, and going that we are called to at Redeemer is not an arbitrary assembly of random good or fun things to be doing. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And as we go about our mission here, we need to know why we are knowing, growing, and going. When we commission a missionary to go off to another place and spread the gospel there, what is it that we hope to accomplish by doing that? When we gather together in a small group in our communities and read the Bible together or pray, what is the point? What is the end that we have in mind? When we join together on Sunday mornings, what exactly is it that we think we are trying to do? I'm going to throw some options out there. Here's the question. What do you think we are trying to do today? It's multiple choice. Choice A. We are trying to pass on our moral teaching from one generation to the next. Choice B. We're trying to hear something positive in a world filled with negativity. Choice C. We are trying to be an encouraging community and a support network for each other. Choice D. We're trying to create a space where people can possibly hear the gospel and be saved. Choice E. We're trying to learn what the Bible says. Or choice F. None of the above. Part of being a good test taker when you have a multiple choice question is to know that if there's more than one good answer, then you have to choose the one that is most true. And part of the fun in being a teacher is making the questions as tricky as possible. Now, while each of those choices were somewhat true, the truest answer is F. It's none of those. I want to submit to you that the aim, the goal, the point, the focus, the logic, the rationale, the end of our mission is the worship of God. I think this is exactly what Peter means when he says that we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we are here together, yes, we do teach the scriptures. We do encourage one another. We do preach the gospel. We do support each other. But we don't do any one of those things exclusively. All of these things together are integrated parts of a more singular focus, the worship of God. And this is the point of mission. Mission is about the spread of the worship of God throughout the world. You can see this in the psalm that we already recited together today. We began verse 1 by asking for God to show himself to us. And then why? We answered that in verse 2. We said that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. Okay, so we want God to show himself to us so that people will know him. That sounds like evangelism. We want God to save people. That's the end, right? No. Verse 3 shows us that the whole point of the conversion of the nations is so that the nations will praise God. Verse 3 says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth." Selah. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." Begin with the end in mind. What is the mission of the church? Worship. We are strategically working to spread the worship of God throughout the world. When we teach people about the cross, it's so they can join us in the praise of God. When we bring people to church with us, it's so they can join us in worship. When we care for the poor, it's so that they would know the love of God and return that love in praise. When we love our enemies, it's so that they can learn to praise God. When we read the Bible, it's so that we can better understand the marvelous works of God and then sing his praise. When we visit the sick, it's so that they would know the glory of the grace of God and find rest in the praise of his name. And when we come together here as the body of Christ to worship, we do this not first for ourselves, but ultimately to exalt God. And if none of those things are true, then we are idol worshipers. And since the entire mission is to spread and magnify the glory of God throughout the world, then to worship idols is to commit treason. This is the spirit of our Old Testament reading for today. In Isaiah, we read one of the songs of the suffering servant, an Old Testament picture of Christ. The servant says, "Give attention, you peoples from afar." He tells the Gentile nations that the purpose of Israel's mission was that God would be glorified. In verse 4, he mourns that Israel has failed to carry out the mission that it was created for, but God answers that he will restore Israel, and verse 7 says, "I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And then the servant says, when all the nations see how God has restored Israel, the kings and the princes of the world will bow down and worship. This is the plan. This is the end, the goal. And we use the word glory a lot in the context of worship. But the ESV points out that another translation of verse 3 is, "I will display my beauty." This helps us understand a bit why we should care that God's glory be spread throughout the world. When you say it that way, glory, it sounds abstract and theological. And if you're anything like me, you've probably checked out. But the word beauty sounds solid. You can think of a painting, a movie, a song, the joy of the sight of your newborn child. A man may think of his wife. You may think of poetry. In Ephesians, God says that we, the church, are his poem, that he is writing us into history. And each of these things, we get a taste of the end, the point, the hope of our mission, that the world would be filled with the beauty of God. This is the joy of our salvation. Peter said that we were chosen that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is because, as the Apostle John puts it, God is light, and in him is no darkness. After all, isn't that how we began the service in our psalm? We asked in verse 1, "May God be gracious to us and make his face to shine upon us." Selah. We are getting very close to what theologians call the beatific vision. In beatific, we have the same root word as the Beatitudes, which are the sayings that Jesus said about how to have the blessed life. This is the goal, blessing, delight. Blessing and staring into the light of God, where we see the fullness of every lesser light that we encounter in the world. In the early church, it should not surprise us that instead of the word baptism, the ritual that we talk about with water was often known by another name, illumination, that is, filling with light. Our mission as baptized disciples is to fill the world with that light through the proclamation of the gospel to all races and nations, so that all people can know the peace which surpasses all understanding through gazing at the beauty of God revealed in the cross of Christ and especially in his resurrection. This is the end. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.